Okay, what you guys are about to hear is something that started it all. This is the first three chapters in the novel. Well, it wasn't a novel, it was only 10 chapters. But in the audiobook that started and gave Into the Lion's Den its original name. This used to be called the Into the Lion's Den audiobook podcast. Now it is called Lion's Den Audiobook and Drama Podcast. But without further ado, here is chapters 1 through 3 of Into the Lion's Den.
Jadethian Audio. Into the Lion's Den by Nathaniel D. Caldwell. Prologue. After the ravages of the latest war, they stopped counting years. It didn't matter. Everything was nearly waste anyway. No power. No transportation. Well, next to none. Some had conveniences, but Daniel didn't. He could drive, get around and stuff, but what did it matter? His house was blacked out. No heat except for the fireplace. He had even taught himself to cook that way. He didn't eat much anymore, though. Not after they took his wife. He didn't know who they were. But he had to find her. The only thing he knew is that he came home from work after one happy year of marriage and she was gone. She didn't run away or just leave. Too much junk was strewed all over the place. There had been no earthquake that day, so it wasn't that. And she wouldn't just leave the house that way. Christy was too meticulous. That was her name. Her beautiful name. What had happened to her? Oh, how he prayed. She was all right. Chapter 1. It had been 3 years since his wife's disappearance, and Daniel still hadn't been able to adjust. His self-confidence had dropped to a new low. His nervousness had risen to a new high. He had to live his life, but it wasn't easy. She had quickly become part of him, a vital half of him. She was his stability, his confidence. Oh, he was learning to trust God more, but she was even the one teaching him that. Now, he couldn't even pick up a Bible without thinking about her. And when he thought about her, he just couldn't do anything else. He still had his job for the city. His precinct had understood the situation, and they let him keep his desk at information. But nowadays, he needed a lot of help to finish a simple gathering of data. Luckily, he had that too. His co-workers wanted to be his friend, to help him, but he had insisted on keeping to himself as much as possible. He couldn't keep from crying. He was afraid he was beginning to forget what she looked like. But every night in his dreams, he'd see her, and he'd remember. That, at least, was a comfort. He didn't have many of those. He had to find her before he lost his mind. What he needed was more information. Then it hit him. Of course! I'm in information! All I have to do is press the right buttons! From that time forward, all his spare time was spent at the office. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He just sat there staring at the screen and pushing buttons. He was convinced that this was his only hope, and he wasn't sure how much time he had left. It was about 3 a.m. Saturday morning when his closest friend walked in to pick up something.
Man, he said, you're still here?
I have to find her.
I know, but you have to go home.
Transit's tied up this time of morning.
Well then, come on, I'll take you to my place.
Roger Denson's place wasn't much, but it was home. He lived in the old hotel, actually. It was still a pretty nice place. Roger was the only one Daniel knew who could actually afford to live there, but he did pretty well for himself. Roger was Daniel's immediate boss, though no one would know just by looking. He treated Daniel with more respect than anyone. Anyone except... Hey, what's wrong, Danny?
I can't help it, man. She...
I know, but you've got to live. Is she living?
Lord, I pray so.
I'm sorry, Dan. No, Raj. You're a good friend to take care like you do.
He dried it at his eyes with his sleeve. They went up to his room and went to bed.
But Roger wouldn't let him go anywhere the next morning. He had a different plan. He was going to make sure Daniel took care of himself, even if that meant keeping him at his place. They were going to continue the search together. Roger would keep him there. After all, how could Daniel resist searching on the biggest database in the city? The Denson Data Files Computer, DDC. The DDC was the computer that kept the precinct information offices on their toes. If there was any information, with the right button press, the DDC would have it answered within seconds.
Jadethian Audio. Into the Lion's Den. Podcast audiobook by chapters. By Nathaniel D. Caldwell. Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. When Daniel woke up, he heard this distinct humming. He smelled something strange.
Yipe! I burned it!
What? Who? Christy?
Wake up, partner,
his best friend chided. Oh, Roger.
Well, there goes the muffins.
I'm not hungry anyway, man.
I know. But you're gonna eat.
Come on, Raj.
No, Daniel. You come on. How long has it been since you ate anything?
I guess I don't really know.
That's too long, partner. Fresh food, fresh mind. Isn't that what Christy... Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
No!
We'll find her. If she's to be found, the DDC will know.
You're gonna let me use the mainframe?
No, Dan. We're gonna use it together. But first, I think we ought to go down and eat in the lobby. It's not much, but food's food, and it is free.
Whatever.
That's the Dan we all know and love.
Free food.
Wake up, man!
Let's eat. Then we do this?
Right.
Let's get to it, then. After breakfast, Roger talked to Daniel about staying at his place for a while. He agreed, but he needed some things up at the house first. After packing up several necessary items, they started to head outside. It was then that the ground shook.
Oh, no! Daniel exclaimed. Not again!
I hate these, man,
Roger commented as they ran towards the front door.
Tell me about it.
When they made it outside, the tremor stopped. Right after that, Daniel's house fell straight to the ground. Not even the foundation was left stable.
Christy's picture was in there!
Daniel could no longer hold back the tears. He once again cried.
Oh, great, Roger thought, right when we were making progress. Let's get out of here, Daniel. Let's get out of this place. What do you say? All Daniel could do was nod his head. "We've got to find her. We've got to find her." He'd been repeating that for the last hour.
"Chill, man," Roger shouted.
"You've got to snap out of it, or else how can I help you?"
"Oh, okay, I'm done.
"Good. Now, what first? Okay, the first thing we need to do is find out when you last saw her."
3 years ago."
"And where?"
"My house, before work."
"Good. Next, we put out an APB.
"Done that 3 years ago."
"I know," Roger said while typing it on the DDC, "but..."
"Whoa! What's this?
Did they tell you they filed an APB on her?"
"Yeah, sure, it's standard procedure, you know that."
"Well, procedure or not, not a one was filed."
"In 3 years? Why not?"
"I don't know. I ordered..."
"Wait.
I remember doing it myself."
What? Why would it say..."
"Could it be? Could it be someone possibly..."
"No, it's impossible."
"What?" "I think that someone intercepted it."
"No. Please, no."
"Not this one for sure."
The computer beeped, acknowledging what Daniel's boss repeated.
"Sent and received on the DDC."
It wasn't 10 minutes before they had received a response to the APB.
"What does it say?" Daniel was nervous and excited all at the same time.
"It says that someone fitting her description exactly just checked into this hotel last night."
"How sure are we it's her?"
"Well, she's using the name Christy King."
"Christy's using her maiden name? Why?"
"Let's find out, shall we?"
End of chapter 2. From the author. Guys, in chapter 2, I didn't add much, but I did add a little bit to kind of make things go just a little smoother. So I hope you enjoyed this audiobook. I really kind of starting to like doing this for you guys. And at the end, in the afterword that I'm planning to record, I plan to tell you guys how you can put this together into the audiobook file instead of the podcast file. So be looking for that at the very end of the book. Thanks for listening. Jadethian Audio. Into the Lion's Den by Nathaniel D. Caldwell. Chapter 3. Christy King sat in a chair by the mirror in her hotel room. She was impressed that in all of the chaos left over from whatever had happened, there still was a fine hotel. Not even the last quake shook the building very much. She felt safe. She felt safe, but she was confused. The last thing she remembered was when she was 16. She knew she was 29 and felt her age, not immature, but so many things, memories, were missing. The doctor they took her to see called it selective amnesia. He said that her subconscious was hiding some traumatic event. She would start gaining back her regular memories once something or someone jogged it. But she may never remember what ever caused her memory loss. She wasn't sure she wanted to. She would be satisfied with just remembering more about what had happened in her life. Why did she not have a license with her? She had her license even before she could drive alone. She was an excellent driver. She was lost in thought until a knock on the door brought her out of it.
"Yes, I'm coming."
She opened the door a crack. The door was chained. Daniel stepped forward. It's her.
You're sure?
Roger waited for an answer, hoping Daniel was right. I'm positive. Then, she spoke.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Christy, Daniel asked.
That is my name, yes. Can I help you, sir?
Christy, don't you know me? Tears began to form from Daniel's eyes.
I shouldn't do this, she said, but maybe you gentlemen should come inside.
I'll stay out here, Daniel, Roger said, but if you need me.
No, thanks, Roger. I appreciate it.
I'll be in the room then.
Inside the room, Christy shut the door.
So, your name is Daniel?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm not very composed right now.
It's all right. We all have had problems since... whatever. What did happen anyway?
You don't know?
The doctor said I have selective amnesia.
You don't remember me, then?
You look vaguely familiar, but no. What happened?
There was a major war. The aftermath was so bad, we suffer from constant earthquakes. Not even our house stands.
I'm sorry, but did you say our house?
Don't you remember getting married? Suddenly, a flood of memories and emotions filled her system. It was as if her very being, her heart, was fighting to remember every last thing about him. Then she felt faint. She had to sit down. Suddenly, she remembered everything about him. All memories of them together came back.
Daniel! She started to cry. I'm so sorry.
You don't remember. He was about to collapse from his nerves. He must not have taken his medicine all this time.
Yes, honey, I do remember.
She got up all her strength to go catch him and sit him in her chair.
How long has it been?
3 years. I was beginning to wonder if I'd ever find you.
Oh, Dan, I am so, so sorry.
He could no longer hold back the tears. Even the ones he held back when he cried came forth. He had finally found her.
Christy!
She motioned him to come to her, and she held him tight.
I'm here, Dan. I'm here.
She knew she would have to be his strength once again. She counted it joy to have him, to remember once again. That night, the two stayed in her hotel room. As she stepped out of the shower, she could hear something. She quickly threw on her robe and walked into the main room. There she saw him crying, saying, "Don't leave me. Please don't leave me." As soon as she got into bed, she stayed close to him and whispered softly,
"I'm still here, Dan. I'm still here."